The following message is the third in Bishop John W. Howe's series on the Lord's Prayer. This message is entitled, Your Will Be Done.
In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We're in the process of unfolding the Lord's Prayer this summer, taking it apart clause by clause, and then putting it back together again. And I hope you're beginning to see that just as was the case in last year's study of the Ten Commandments, there's a kind of a spiritual logic in the way it's constructed. One phrase flows into the next one and follows from what immediately preceded it. Have you begun to notice that? Last year, as we were studying the commandments, we said that if you get the first one right, everything else flows from it. There's a sense in which having no other gods but God implies making no graven images, bowing down and worshiping them, or taking His name in vain, and so on. So also I'm suggesting that in the Lord's Prayer, if you understand the first clause, hallowed be thy name, what it is to honor and hallow God's name, you'll see that in a sense it implies the prayer, your kingdom come. Because if we really want to honor God's name, we want to honor it more and more in our own lives day by day. And ultimately, we want to see God's name being honored throughout the whole world. We want to see the increase of His kingdom coming until the earth has been filled with the knowledge of God as the waters cover the sea. I compared this last summer to buttoning a shirt or a dress. If you get the top button right, they'll all be right. If you get the top one wrong, you'll have trouble all the way to the bottom. I think that's true in so many passages of Scripture. They're not just haphazardly thrown together. There is a spiritual logic. So the prayer, Thy Kingdom Come, begins with the recognition that Jesus is Lord right now. But it also recognizes that you and I live in enemy-occupied territory. Jesus is Lord, but we live in enemy-occupied territory. Jesus himself called Satan the ruler of this world. Jesus is Lord, but Satan is in rebellion against him, and he is the ruler of this world. At one point, Jesus described his mission as that of coming into a strong man's house and tying him up and plundering his goods. Satan is a strong man ruling over this world, and Jesus comes to bind him, to tie him up, and to plunder, to steal back from him what he has taken from God. When the devil tempted Jesus and he offered him all the kingdoms of this world, if you'll just bow down and worship me, you need to understand that they were his to offer. He is, in a sense, over the kingdoms of this world. And he said, Jesus, I'll give them to you if you'll just bow down and worship me. Now, there will come a day, praise God, when the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdom of our Lord and of His Christ, and He shall reign forever and ever. Hallelujah. Amen. But right now, we're kind of like Robin Hood and his merry men in a world run by Prince John and the Sheriff of Nottingham. The true king, Jesus the Lion-Hearted, is just around the corner. He is coming soon, but until He does, we're here to be His subversives. We're here to commit holy sabotage on the devil's system. The world says, look out for number one. Play the game. Hedge your bets. Win the rat race. Grab all the gusto you can get. If it feels good, do it. Be all that you can be. Jesus says, turn the other cheek. Walk the second mile. Give away your coat. Permit yourself to be defrauded. Pray for your enemies. Love those who despitefully use you. Be faithful to your one wife. Take up your cross and die daily. And every time we do those sorts of things, we commit sabotage on the enemy's system. Have you thought of it that way? Every time we choose righteousness rather than easy compromise. Every time we refuse to fudge on our income tax. Every time we say no to the temptations to sexual infidelity or promiscuity. Every time we put quality relationships with our kids above killing ourselves to keep up with the Joneses. Every time we tithe, oops, Bishop just stopped preaching and started meddling. You want to really commit sabotage on the enemy's system? You try tithing. See what God does in your life. Every time we choose Jesus instead of this world's value system, we're wreaking havoc on the devil's domain. I'll put it to you this way. To honor God's name is to seek to advance His kingdom, and to advance His kingdom is to pray and to work to see that His will is done here on earth as it is in heaven. Do you see what I'm saying? Spiritual logic. Thy will be done here on earth as it is in heaven. God's will is done in heaven, and we pray as spiritual subversives that His will be done in and through us in the same way. When the Christians were dragged before the authorities in Thessalonica, the accusation against them was, these men have turned the world upside down, contrary to all the decrees of Caesar, saying there is another king, one Jesus. You realize that not once were any of the early Christian disciples thrown into prison or flogged or crucified or burned at the stake or thrown to the lions. Not once for saying, I have a wonderful personal relationship with Jesus. Not once. Rome didn't care about that. They were insurrectionists. They preached sedition. They were anarchists as far as the government was concerned. They said there's another king, one Jesus. Somebody said if it were illegal to be a Christian, would there be enough evidence to convict you? Good question. Good question. We seem to have developed a different kind of attack today. We look around and see what's happening out there in the culture around us and figure out a way to call it Christian and call it evangelism. No matter how outrageous, immoral, or downright blasphemous it may be. After the last general convention, Bishop Bill Fry of Colorado made the comment that the Episcopal Church has defined itself so broadly that there's no absolute guarantee that the Ayatollah Khomeini might not wake up one morning and discover that inadvertently he had become an Episcopalian. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying. I thank God for the religious freedom that we still enjoy in this country and for the number of believers in government, but I need to ask this. What if America were to become violently hostile to Christianity, as there are some signs that some in our society would like to see happen? What if the government were to say, you can no longer preach or publish the gospel or gather together to worship? What if? Would we say, well, I guess that's it then? Or would we say, there's another king, one Jesus? Lord, you are the King. I honor your name regardless of what others think about it. I work and I pray for the extension of your kingdom in spite of any opposition. And my desire is that your will be done here on earth, in and through me, as it is in heaven. So, Lord, what are my marching orders? That's our prayer, if we truly pray as Jesus taught us to. The tragedy, it seems to me, is that so often when people pray, thy will be done, they misunderstand entirely. They pray it with a kind of a sigh of resignation. You know what I mean? Lord, here's what I want. Lord, please do this. Do that, bless him, bless her, meet this need, heal that person. Here's what I want, Lord, but nevertheless, not my will, but thine. Have you heard people pray that way? Maybe you've prayed that way. I know what I want, but I don't know what God wants, so here's what I want, Lord, but nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. There is a place for that. Obviously, if Jesus himself prayed that way on the night before his crucifixion, there is a place for that. But please be very clear. There was not one hint of resignation on his part that night in the Garden of Gethsemane. Jesus deliberately, willfully chose the Father's will above his own. You remember that just a short while before that, he said to his followers, nobody takes my life. I have the power to lay it down, and I have the power to take it up again. He didn't resign himself to the will of God as to some fatalistic decree. He chose it with all the powers of his volition intact and engaged. And God is looking for men and women and boys and girls who will choose his will deliberately, volitionally, over against all the promptings of the enemy, the allure of the world, and the desires of their own flesh. You remember the questions from the baptismal service? Do you renounce Satan and all the spiritual forces of wickedness that rebel against God? That's a very pathetic response. The answer is boldly, I renounce them. I renounce them. Do you renounce the evil powers of this world which corrupt and destroy the creatures of God? Do you renounce all sinful desires that draw you from the love of God? And then three positive questions. Do you turn to Jesus Christ and accept Him as your Savior? Do you put your whole trust in His grace and love? Do you promise to follow and obey Him as your Lord? Three negative, three positive. I renounce the world, the flesh, and the devil. I choose the Lordship of Christ and His will above my own, no matter what the cost. We heard from our gospel reading that if possible, the enemy is going to steal the Word of God out of our lives. He'll swoop down like a bird and gobble it up, or he'll choke it to death with the cares of this world, or he'll allow our soil to become so hardened by our pursuit of pleasure that nothing grows, nothing reproduces. The world, the flesh, and the devil. I renounce them. I choose Jesus. Thy will be done here on earth as it is in heaven. You know, the world out there largely scorns our proclamation that Jesus is Lord. And I believe the reason is that they see so little evidence of it. God's desire is that you and I would lead lives of such yieldedness to Christ that others will see among us a replication of what's going on in heaven. That's what we're praying. That we'd be able to say to folks, you want to know what heaven is like? Come check us out. Thy will be done among us as it is in heaven. The truth, of course, is that we can't do that in our own strength. We share in the fallenness of the rest of mankind. But the key and the secret is that Jesus wants to live His life in and through and among us, and He is entirely up to the challenge. Let me give you a homely example. If I were to take center court at Wimbledon, it might provide some brief comic relief, but it would not be a particularly compelling demonstration of athletic prowess. But just suppose that there were some way of my inviting Stefan Egberg to come and live inside me and use my muscles and my eyes and my return, my legs, my arms at his disposal. Now, I'm not becoming an automaton. My will is fully engaged, but it's engaged in yielding to him. John McEnroe, look out. Thy will be done. In and through me. Among us. To the confounding of the enemy, to the converting of a skeptical world, and to the praise of the name of Jesus. Amen.